Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
You may be seated, please. Thank you for hanging with me through that. Whoops. Well, God's good, amen? You say, I've never been in a church where they did that before. Well, they, you know, I guess different people do it different ways, but I just saw it in the Bible and thought we should do it. How many think that's a good idea? How come you do what you do? I just saw it in the Bible, you know? You don't even need a degree to figure that out. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us this morning. So we're talking about life in Christ. We're talking about the vision of the church and that I've been sharing my testimony. And where I left off last week was I talked about, well, I really spent a lot of time on Jesus, not just being your Savior, but your Lord. Then I talked about the importance of mental and body, well, body discipline, but also renewing of the mind. Romans 12, 1 says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and worship. One of the things that I learned after I got born again is that I need to give God my body. I'm talking about my physical body. I need to give it to Him to serve Him. Before we trusted Christ, we used our body for sinful pleasures and purposes. But now that we belong to Him, we want to use our body for His glory. The Christian's body is God's temple. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, I want you to see this because you need to look at it and then go, oh yeah, there it is right there. I see it. I want you to realize I'm not making this up. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 and 20 says this, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that a powerful statement? Who lives within you, this is the Amplified, whom you have received as a gift from God, you are not your own. Are you your own? The answer is no. You are not your own. And in verse 20, it says this. It says, you were bought with a price, purchased with the preciousness, and paid for, made His own. So then honor God and bring glory to Him in your what? In your body. I figured out I had to give glory to God in my body. See, I don't know if you realize this or not, but this will help you understand this. The Bible actually says that you're a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. I don't got time to teach on that right now, but you just need to understand it. Your body is actually your tent. You're actually not a body. You're a spirit on the inside. And that spirit on the inside has the Holy Spirit in it if you're born again. And when you're born again, then you got to do something with your body. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you read through the epistles, if you read through Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, if you read through Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, all this stuff, that you'll see it in there. But Paul and the apostles tell you to do something with your mind and do something with your body. Do you know the word body or flesh is actually the word carne? Did you know that? Anybody ever had carne asada? How about chili and cheese, con queso, carne, meat and cheese together? It's good. Don't worry, we'll get you out by noon. People are like, you better. Chili con carne, chili with cheese. Carne is just meat. You're a pile of meat. Your body is, and bones. That's what it is. Now, you need to take care of it because why? It's the temple of God, according to verse 19. So you don't want to do anything in your with your body that Jesus wouldn't do with your body. Come on. And so I realized after I got saved, I can't just do everything I was doing before. For one, it was killing my body. And I knew it. I could feel myself getting weaker. You know what I mean by that? And so you got to be aware of that. So just as Jesus Christ had to take on himself a body in order to accomplish God's will on earth, so we must yield our bodies to Christ that he might continue God's work through us. We must yield the members of our body as instruments of righteousness. Okay, you saw the musicians up there today. Some of them had instruments on their hand, or, but, you know, like Tessa had the guitar on her hands, right? Around her neck, and she's playing that guitar. Is the instrument her? No. The body's not you. The body is your instrument. Use it for the kingdom of God. Use it to serve. Use it to bring glory to God. Amen? And so we must yield the members of our body as instruments of righteousness. Let's go to Romans 6, 13. Go to Romans 6, verse 13. It says this. Paul said this speaking to the Romans. He said, actually, I'm going to start in verse 12. It says this. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members, which is your body, and all your parts, every one of your parts. Somebody say, every body part. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as what? Instruments of righteousness to God. So in other words, does anybody know that what the most unruly part of your body is? Right there. That's right there. Right below your nose. You know? That is the most unruly part of your body. You're supposed to use your mouth for righteousness, not unrighteousness. You're supposed to use your mouth for blessing, not cursing. Come on. You're supposed to use your, you're not supposed to say, man, my kids are dumb. Don't say that. You bless them in Jesus' name. Amen? The power of life and death is in your tongue. If you're going to change your circumstance, you got to change that tongue. Okay? So, like I shared in my testimony last week, at the end of the service, I think it was last week, it was one of them, anyway, I no longer use the members of my body to beat people up. I quit. Okay? We got saved. Quit. We quit doing that. Why? That's not righteousness. Now, I will use the members of my body to defend. Okay? But I don't go looking to take somebody out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, so, and there's a balance here, because righteousness, does a righteous person defend somebody who's innocent? Absolutely. That's okay. It's just how you do things. You understand what I'm saying? The motive behind them. So the motive behind how you use your body today should be a motive of righteousness, not unrighteousness. A motive of right, okay? So we are to present ourselves to the Lord. The verb present in this verse means present once and for all. That's what it means. So in Romans 12, 1, it says, present your body. It means present once and for all. In other words, give your body to the Lord and don't go back. You know, when somebody comes to you and says, you know, we're thinking about going and doing this, and you know it's unrighteousness, you know it's sin, you know it's not right, you know the Lord would not participate in that, you can go, you can just say to him, oh, I'm sorry, I already gave my body to the Lord. I can't do that. It's too late. What do you mean by that? Well, and then you can share Jesus with him. I can't use my body. Sorry, body, we can't do that. How many know your body has a voice? How many know your body will go, let's eat the whole gallon of ice cream? It tasted good. And then your body will get sick and mad that it got sick after it decided it wanted to eat the whole gallon of ice cream. You know why? Because your body's el stupido. Your body, the desires of your body, apparently it's Spanish at church day. Your body doesn't, all it is a tool for you to use. I don't care. I think you should wash it. I think you should put smell good on it. I think you should do whatever you want with your hair, okay? Make it look nice, all right? Put some clothing on it, please, for God's sakes, put some clothing on it. Keep it covered. Come on. All right. So, well, there's lots of people in the world that don't cover up and they go out. I mean, have you been to Walmart? Or have you seen the award shows that Hollywood puts on? It's like they forgot to finish stitching it. Where's the rest of the threads? That's not using your body for righteousness. It's using it for unrighteousness. I mean, do what you got to do to keep your body functioning good. Come on. Just use it for the glory of God. The best thing you can do for your body, health-wise, is to walk in the love of God. It is the best thing you can do. It is the best thing you can do. So you present it once and for all to the Lord. It is the right response to all that God has done for us when we offer our bodies to Him. It is the right response for all He's done for us. This commitment is what? It says it in the verse 1 of Romans 12:1. It says, it is our reasonable service or spiritual worship. This means that every day is a worship experience when your body is yielded to the Lord. You know, some people think, we're worshiping. How do you know? It's a slow song. Actually, worship is you giving your whole life to the Lord. Every part of you. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? What do you want me to do here? What's your plan for me? That's what you do. You give your body to Him. The Holy Spirit within me, when I first got saved, the Holy Spirit within me helped me to understand the difference between what I should do and what I shouldn't do with my body. Later I read in the scriptures about it, about what I should do. Galatians 5:13 says this. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh or the sinful nature. Indulge it. In other words, you're called to freedom, but don't use your freedom for sin. Don't use your freedom for sinful desires. Don't use your freedom to go back and indulge in the things that God saved you out of. Does that make sense? We are to be separate. The Bible actually says to be holy as He is holy. To live a separate life. There's a whole move in the church these days where people have got this idea, well, we can't, you know, we need to look and act like the world so we can win them. Well, there's a fine line there. And a lot of people in the church have used that as an excuse to live any way they want in a false understanding of grace and still think they're just going to make heaven anyway. Because we're not earning our salvation, but we are living out of it. I didn't earn it, but I'm living out of it. So as I grew in the Lord, I realized, oh, I probably shouldn't play Grand Theft Auto anymore. Some people know what that is. Some moms are like, what is that? Listen, if your kids have that game, throw it in the garbage. It'll save you the, you know, any game where you can just hijack a car and beat people in the street with a baseball bat and get away with it is not good. Amen. It'll say, oh me, I don't care. It's the truth either way, right? You ought to be aware of what's coming in to your mind. Why? Because it's God's mind now. You ought to be aware of what you're doing with your body because it's God's body now. You've given up control of it. It's now His. And you know what? There is no better shepherd to take care of you than the chief shepherd. He will take care of you. You will be so grateful that you gave Him your body. Amen? And you use it for righteousness. And not destruction. There were certain things I just had to give up. You say, why did you have to give them up? Well, because they were affecting me and I knew in my heart, this is not right. I can't do this anymore. I can't be in this place anymore. I can't do this anymore. This is not who I am. Remember, I talked about changing your surroundings, changing who you hang out with and those type of things. Why? Because I want to have a relationship with the Lord that is so strong that when I do come in contact with other people, they go, what's different? Why? That I affect them, they don't affect me. Come on. And that only happens one way. You got to train for a while, you know what I mean? You got to train for a while. And Paul said this in verse 13. He said, rather serve one another through love. Galatians 5:13. So no longer use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature, but now serve one another in love. So what did I do? I got involved in every church thing I possibly could when I got saved. Anything I could do, I'd do it. You want me to clean the bathroom? I'll clean the bathroom. You want me to be an usher? I'll usher. I put on I didn't know what to wear, so I just borrowed some of my dad's dress clothes and showed up in church in that. Because I didn't have any.
Now, you don't have to wear church or dress clothes to come to church, but this was a few years, this was about 20 years ago. You know, everybody wore a tie and a, you know, and all that. So, but in that process, I went, oh, you know what? This is what they do, so I'm gonna do it. I'm no longer gonna use my body for partying, and I was good at it. You know? Anybody ever been good at partying in your life? Two people are honest. Oh, three, okay. Okay, see, now the hands are coming out. Okay? I was good at it, but what was I using my body for? What was I using my lungs for? Come on. What was I getting out of these parties? What was happening in these parties? I'll show you. Go down to verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Hatred. You ever had a good friend and then you both get drunk and you beat each other up? That's called hatred. They're supposed to be your friend. But how did that all happen? You're not in your right mind. Why? Because you use your body and you put a substance in your body that altered the way you thought. And it affected the physical nature of who you were. And then now all of a sudden the person that you are supposed to be really good friends with, now you're duking it out. You know that's not a healthy relationship? Hello? That's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. So I had to give up these things. No, I can't live in that anymore. I've got to give myself to the Lord. And you say, oh, you must have had like a vision from heaven and you didn't have feelings anymore. Are you kidding me? I'm just as human today as I was then. I'm just stronger in the spirit than I used to be. Come on. You know, in the process of me not yielding my body to these desires, and really almost every single one of them, do you know that in the process of that, I made mistakes along the way? But you know what I don't do? I don't quit. Ever. When I find what God has called me to do and what He has for me to do, and I find the thing that is my heart's desire, I never quit. Never. I don't quit. Quit's not in me. I don't use that word when it comes to God. I absolutely will never quit. Why? Because I got a goal in front of me. I'm like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things that are behind. You know, I have people come up to me, remember that time we did this? You know, I drive around high. It's true. Chapstick, I got to speed my lips up. I only got so much time. My lips are really dry today. I don't know why. I drank two waters before. Anyway, that needs to go on the video, right? Praise the Lord. Church. We're not TV church. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so chapstick, got to get past the chapstick. Okay, so what happened? I mean, we would go, because we were, you know, partying or whatever. I was the only one high in the vehicle. Guess who's driving? My friends were dumb. I was the only one. I hit a shopping cart in the middle of 24th Street. I didn't even see it. I didn't even know how it was there. I watched the thing in slow motion explode in front of me. I'm like, where did that come from? And all my friends, I don't know. But it was my car, so that's why I was driving. I don't do that anymore. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I never drive high with my kids in the car. Ever. Why? I don't use my body for that. I use my body for righteousness. Holiness, justice, for the King of Heaven. Because I want to be strong for Him, amen? I want to serve Him. And then I found out I needed to renew my mind. And so in verse 2 we see, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? I had to read my Bible. I just read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. And then I'd read it again. And if I didn't understand it, I'd just read it again. I'm like, God, you're going to have to make me smart because I don't know what's going on here, but I don't understand this. And he would show me and open my eyes and let me see things and say, see, Sean, you're thinking wrong here. You need to think this way. Stop doing things this way. Let's do it this way. See how I responded to these people. See how I laid hands on these sick people. See how I shared the goodness of God with these people. See how I didn't condemn this person. That's how you need to think. That's what you need to use your body for. Start using everything that you are for my kingdom, and I will take care of all your needs. I was like, okay, Lord, then I'm going to go to Bible college. I went to Bible college. Lord, I need a wife. I found a wife. But I had to give myself to the Lord first in everything and make up my mind. I'm not quitting. This is the direction I'm going. Let the chips fall. You understand what I'm saying? And then trust God all along the way and become a part of a church and a part of a body and be able to grow and develop the way I should. We give him our mind. The world wants to control your mind, but God wants to transform your mind. Amen? You give him your will. You give him your desires and let him put his desires in you and grow and develop you. You realize that you're looking at me 20 years later, 21 years later, after I gave my heart to the Lord, and I've been going this direction for 21 years? So don't feel like as if where you're at, you're like, how am I ever going to get there? One day at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. You know, C.S. Lewis said this, if Christianity is a farce, then my life is spent doing great things. The consequences are not that bad, okay? Let's just say that Christianity is a farce. And he said, if it's not real, he said, no big deal. When my life's over, I would have lived a good life. But listen, if it's not, the consequences for someone who don't believe, it's a whole lot more serious. I would rather function in righteousness my whole life. I mean, just in the practical sense, look, I enjoy not having to fight and be in a mess all the time in my house. Come on. Or with, you understand what I'm saying? I don't wonder what I'm going to do on the weekend. We have family night on Friday. Come on. You say, what do? Well, we don't get together and fight with each other unless the game gets a little intense. You know, we can't decide what movie. We have a good time. Amen? We're blessed. We walk in love. We're growing in it. It's awesome. Our house is in order. Amen? Have people tell me, your kids are orderly. Yeah, it's intentional. It's intentional. And you say, well, my kids don't act like... Well, what age are your kids and where are they at? Because orderly for a 2-year-old is different than a 14-year-old. It should be. Okay? But they should be orderly, amen? You should have control over your house when the Bible says so. But I had to give God my mind. I had to give God my body. I had to submit to a minister. At Ephesians 4, we see that he gave gifts to the body of Christ. Verse 11, he says, some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers, some evangelists. And why did he do it? That they would develop, that the body of Christ would develop and become one in the faith and serve and do their ministry. That's why you have ministers. And then once you're in that place, you develop and you grow, you find out who you are, then you begin to serve. Galatians 5:13, we just read it, but it says this, through love you should serve one another. Mark 10:43 says this, but this is not to be so among you. This is Jesus speaking. Instead, whoever desires to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be the most important and first in rank among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come, came not to save, to have service rendered to him, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. John 13:14 says this, if then your Lord and teacher or master have washed your feet, it is your duty and you're under obligation, you owe it to wash one another's feet. Acts 20 verse 35 says this, in everything I have pointed out to you by example that by working diligently in this manner, we ought to assist the weak, being mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed, makes one happier and more to be envied to give than to receive. Romans 15 Verse 3 says, "For Christ did not please himself. He gave no thought to his own interests, but as it is written, the reproaches and abuses of those who reproached and abused you fell on me." In other words, he didn't think about himself in the morning. He thought, "I'm going to serve somebody, so I had to give my mind, my body, my talent, my gift, everything that God is that he put in me, everything that he purchased in his death, burial, and resurrection, now I give it back to him." You say, that's a lot. I know, it's a walk of faith. God loves faith. You want to please God? You go home this afternoon, and you get by yourself, and you go, "God, show me how I can give more of myself to you. Show me where I need to. Show me how I can yield my body for you to use more. What do you want to do with my life?" And when you do that, I guarantee you, I dare you. I double dog. Uh-oh. Your life will be better. And in the mind of most people, they're thinking, how am I going to actually give up something? Quit trying to figure it out in your mind and seek God. He will show you. And as you make those adjustments, oh, there's no greater joy. 2 Corinthians 4:5, "For what we preach is not ourselves but Jesus Christ, and ourselves merely as servants or slaves for Jesus' sake." I'm a slave for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:15, "But I will most gladly spend," Paul said, "myself and be utterly spent for you, your souls." In other words, I give it up. Let's do it for you, Lord. We'll give to people. Galatians 5:14, "You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself." Look at these are verses people have forgotten. They've forgotten them. We cut our teeth on these things early in the church when we were, love your neighbor as yourself. Do good and bless those who curse you. We're to look different. We're to see different. We're to act different. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Recalling unceasingly," Paul says, "before our God and Father, your work energized based by faith and your service motivated by love." I gave myself to the Lord. 1 John 3:16 says this, "And we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him." Glory to God. There should not be anybody in the church or anybody outside the church that is more loved than the people that are in the church. Why? I no longer live for me. I now live for him, which means I live for him. Does that make sense? Okay. I came to the place in the end where I was sharing with others. Mark 16:15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well." Isn't that good? In other words, what did I find in the scripture when I gave him my mind? What did I find in the scripture when I gave him my body? What did I find in the scripture when I gave him my heart? I found that I was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. People say, "Well, I'm not called to be a missionary. I don't want to go to China. I'm way too tall to go to China." They would be scared of me. Except for Yao Ming. He's pretty tall. Look at it this way. You are to go into all your world and preach the gospel. And people say, "Preach the gospel, but I'm not a preacher. You're a preacher. You do this. I don't do this." No, no, no. Your life, as you give him your mind, as you give him your body, as you give him everything that you are, will preach to others. When you yield your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your body to righteousness, righteousness then becomes the new cologne that you're wearing. The Bible actually says that Christians are an aroma unto the lost and an aroma unto the saved. To one, we're an aroma of death. Have you ever had somebody hate you and you couldn't figure out why? Maybe it's because you're a Christian. You say, "Well, I didn't say anything." It's in the spirit. You give it off. And as you grow, as you develop, as you increase, as you get closer to the Lord, your witness will become evident. Your witness will become evident more and more and more, and you'll have greater influence for the Lord. Amen? Isn't that good? I'm telling you, you can't pay me to go back to my old life. There ain't enough money anywhere. None. Why? I've given him too much, and I'm just going to give a whole lot more. I'm going to see how far I can go. Come on. I'm going to push the limit. Yeah, but you give up everything, then what will happen? The Lord gave me his everything. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said what? All these things shall be added to you. Your misery will end when selfishness goes out the door. Stand with me. If you're always constantly fighting to get your way, you're going to have death in your house. Let me help you with something. It doesn't even matter if you're single and there's nobody else to tell you what to do, and you can decide what you want to do when you want to do it. If the Lord is not leading you, and if he is not guiding you, you'll be by yourself and miserable. You know it's true? If every thought all day long is about you, me, my, mine, mine, why is this mine? You, me. You've got me disease. There's a cure for it. Do something for somebody that you get no benefit from. None. You say, well, that'll be tough. I mean, you know. Yeah, it'll kill your flesh. It'll deaden those things in you. And when you learn to live out of your spirit, whoa, there's the source. Amen? Did you get anything? I know it ain't always easy. But you're strong and you're growing. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your words. Lord, thank you for your scriptures. Oh, man. Lord, I'd have nothing if it wasn't for you. You've given me everything. And Lord, it is my desire, and I know it's the desire of many in this place, that we give you more. Lord, by faith, we give you our minds. We give you our bodies. Lead us, guide us in every way. And Lord, we know that as we obey your word, you are faithful to watch over your word. And you said if we would diligently seek you, that you would be a rewarder of those who do. So we purpose to increase our obedience, to increase our level of faith by giving and doing more in your kingdom as you lead us to. Not as we're pressured, not as we just think in our own mind, but we'll seek you and find out what you want us to do. Lord, rearrange and change our lives by your word and by your spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget Wednesday night. And then if you want to be or part of worship team, come meet with Heidi, please. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.